Hello and welcome to today's episode of the 1 Year No Fear podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Blundell, and you know what to do by now. Hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode, and make sure that you get yourself across to the How to Build a Brand YouTube channel, where I recently launched a new video series on how to build your brand from scratch. So if you want to make sure that you only ever create products and programs, online courses, books, and all that shizzle that your dream customers actually want to buy, head on over there after this episode and get started on the first step. I'll pop the link in the description with this video so you can go straight there. Now, today we're talking about how to build a brand despite criticism. Now, if you've been following me for a while, you've probably heard me talk about filling a need that hasn't been filled yet. You would also have heard me talk about doing things differently than they've been done before, and recommend that you go out there and start testing and measuring different things. Look at what's already happening and then go and do something different. Think about how you can creatively solve the problems that your clients and your dream customers are expressing on social media, things they're talking about. Go get a PhD in their problems. You don't need a PhD in anything else. Just getting a PhD in their problems is enough for you if you are a coach, a consultant, a trainer, a speaker, an author, or somebody that wants to make that ripple of impact, create that massive ripple effect, but to do it fearlessly in a way that you don't get criticism, and even if you do, it doesn't affect you. So if you've only just found me, the chances are that you're going to hear me talk about those things as you start listening to my podcasts and videos and online courses as you go through those. But when your branding philosophy actually differs from that of your competition, you might be fearing that you're going to open yourself up to some criticism of you, of your brand, of your message. And to be fair, much of this criticism, I'm sure, will be rooted in the fears that you have, maybe around the fear that you might have thought of a way to do something and somebody's going to fight you on it and say, no, there's a better way to do it. Or you might be worried that you're going to claim something that somebody else is going to contest, or that actually you're going to get a huge amount of customers and traffic for that thing, and then someone's going to come and shoot it down or destroy it. So there are a few things that I recommend to my Ripple Makers Mastermind members, my brand builders, my How to Build a Brand tribe. There's certain things that you can do that will not only minimize the amount of criticism you get, because there are people out there that will have an opinion about everything. They do say opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. But if you do find yourself troubled by the possibility of being criticized, then I really don't want you to fret over it, because criticism is not only inevitable, it is also manageable, but it can also be used to build your brand. So I'm going to dive into some of the ways that you can build your brand, not only despite criticism and not only despite doing it fearlessly, but actually with the help of it. And by the way, if you are really super worried about being criticized, my biggest piece of advice to you is to do everything from a place of love. Do everything from a place of service. Really go out there and give all of yourself in a really generous way. That doesn't mean giving all your products and programs away. It means giving all of yourself, bringing your whole self to it, doing it from a place of service. So instead of saying, hey, I've got this amazing thing to sell you, instead say, hey, I've had this problem. I got through it. Here's how I did it. And by the way, if you need some help, reach out to me, because I've already been through it and I can probably cut down the amount of time and money you're going to spend on trying to solve this problem as well. So if you need any help, just reach out to me. You see how the difference between that kind of tone of voice, that tone of brand, just ripples out? Well, that's what we're looking for here. So the more love you share and the more open and generous and honest you are with your audience, that, hey, look, I've been through this. I don't want anyone else to go through it. Who do you know that this would help? So you're never selling directly to the room. These are the ways that you could cut down the amount of criticism and the kind of criticism that you might be expecting. But likewise, you might be somebody who loves criticism. You might be somebody that loves a challenge. You might be somebody that loves being, you know, completely out there and raising eyebrows and being different, and you might thrive on that. So it doesn't matter what scale you are in the spectrum of loving criticism or hating it and shying away from it and being fearful of it. Let's just look at some of the ways that you can use it to build your brand rather than to destroy your brand, or to be worried about, yeah, but if I go out there, if someone says something, what's going to happen? Will that destroy my reputation? Is that going to have an impact on my identity? Because ultimately, that's a lot of the time the reason why we hold ourselves back from things, because we worry about our reputation, we worried about our identity. And you are right to be worried about that, or concerned about it anyway. But don't be worried about it from the point of not going out there and making your difference. Listen, years ago, I sent out an email marketing campaign. I was telling some small business owners about this the other day. I sent this email marketing campaign out, and at that time I had about 104 people on my list. So I send this email marketing campaign out because everybody was talking about email marketing at that time. And so this is going back to, I think, probably about 2009, 2010. So we're going back a little bit now. And I send this email out, and four of them, it was either three or four people, responded to me. And these were people that I knew. They were people that I used to see at networking events all the time. It wasn't like I'd spammed these people and I didn't know them. This was just sending them something to help them with their brand. I wasn't even asking them for anything or selling them anything. So I send them this thing from a place of love and generosity. And four of them responded to me. I didn't ask for this. Please remove me from your list. Like, you know, who are you to add me to your list without me asking you to, blah, 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 blah. Even though they'd actually asked me to, right? So I was mortally wounded by that. And I took it so personally. I mean, really personally. I was so wounded, especially because these were people that I knew. These were people that I used to see all the time, that I completely retreated from that. And it kind of scared me, and it made me really fearful to send anything out, because that possibility of rejection or being criticized for taking action and doing that and wanting to help them, it frightened me. And a few years later, and I'm talking a good few years later, maybe 3 or 4 years later, I went to an event, and it was by this big marketing guru who had flown over from the States, and he came over to London. And so I booked and I go there for the day, and part of the stuff he's talking about is email marketing. So I go up to him. You might have heard of him before. His name's Dan Kennedy. He's like the godfather of email marketing. He's like really well known for saying, hey, if I want a new car, I just send out an email. So he's just like, if I want new things, I just go out and get new customers. I just write another email. And that's his thing. And so I go up to him, I get in this queue and everybody's waiting, and I get up to the front of the queue and I say to him, listen, you know, I really want to give this email marketing thing a go, but I really got burned by it. He said, well, why? What's your story? So I said, I sent this email out, and, you know, I sent it out to about 104 people, and I got three or four people came back and they really heavily criticized me, and it's frightened me so much. I haven't sent another email since. Like, I've sent personal, like one-to-one things and to my clients and stuff, but I haven't sent out another broadcast. And he looked at me like I'd just landed from space and put his hand on his hip, and he said, are you telling me that you sent an email to 104 people and only four of them came back and said something, that they didn't want you to send them another email again? I said, well, yeah. And he went, you're kidding me. He said, that means there was 100 people that you could have served, that wanted to be served by you, that didn't say anything to you because they enjoyed receiving it, or maybe they received it and then they looked at it later. But if you didn't hear back from them, chances are they were just busy in their day. You sent them something, you made a difference to them, and then they got on with their life. And unless you send them something else, you are not going to get any more feedback from it. And you've just let 100 people down. And he made me feel so bad in the way that he said it. It's like, you've got all this knowledge and expertise, you've got all this advice, and you've let 100 people down. And if you've let those 100 people down, how many others have you let down over this last 3 or 4 years that could have been highly supported with what you do? I tell you what, that wounded me even more than the four people. You know, it really hit me. Oh my God. And then he topped that off with, and by the way, those four people that said they didn't want to be emailed by you anymore, it means you're not wasting any more time, money, or energy on them. And you can be serving the 100 that actually want you. So the more people that unsubscribe from your emails, the better it is for you, because the higher the quality will be of your list, the more qualified your customers will be with the people that you're communicating with, and the people that are receiving the content from you or the emails, the support, the help, whatever it is you're sending to them, the more they're going to be responsive, engaged and enjoying and referring you, because you're staying front of mind with each and every person that receives an email from you. Are you going to go and send an email now? And I said, yes, absolutely, I will. And from that day that I got back into the office after that event, I started to send emails out regularly. And I looked forward to people unsubscribing, because that meant that my list was constantly being cleaned up, and they were voting with their exit strategy to say, hey, I'm not interested in this right now. But you know, I've had a lot of people that have unsubscribed in the past that have now come back. So, you know, depending on how relevant you are, and we've talked about building a brand with high relevancy, go back through the podcast channel and have a look for how to build a highly relevant brand and really, you know, remove your fears around rejection or other types of criticism, because the more relevant you are to the audience that you're communicating with, the more people are going to stick around and the less they're going to criticize you. So if you do find yourself troubled by the possibility of being criticized, then don't worry. I'm going to give you some tips right now. And before I do, actually, I delivered a 5-day challenge, a free 5-day challenge on this very topic, which is called How to Fall in Love with Being Visible. And you'll find that in the One Drop Movement Global Facebook group. So if you go to Facebook, type in One Drop Movement Global, go request to join the group. And as soon as you get in there, you'll be able to go straight into the guides in there and go find that 5-day challenge. There's a number of challenges that are in there that you can go through, actually, that will really help you to start falling in love with being visible, start fearlessly going out there and building your brand, building your movement and growing your business. So I'll make sure that I put the link to it in the description with this show. So let's dive in, and I'm going to give you some of these tips before you go dig into that challenge, if you're going to go and do it. And we're going to start with the first thing, which is before and during your brand building journey, keep in mind that every entrepreneur started where you are. Keep in mind that every business owner, every global movement maker, every ripple maker, every person that ever went out and did something that was worth doing started exactly where you are right now. So before you start worrying about being criticized, just remember that if you do anything from a place of love or you're giving from a place of service, the people on the other end of it want you to win. They want you to be good. They want you to give them help. They want you to serve them. They want you to support them, because the more successful you are, the more successful they will be. The second thing I want you to remember is that every entrepreneur and business owner that the world has ever labeled groundbreaking or brilliant or magical or awesome, well, they were probably once deemed to be crazy or mad or downright weird. So take it as a compliment if people say to you, you must be mad. Take that word mad and break it down into three smaller words: making a difference. That's what mad is. You're making a difference. So the more mad you are, the more of a difference you're going to make. The third thing that I want you to think about when it comes to building your brand despite criticism is that when you listen intently to the criticism that's being shared, you might find that it's actually coaching rather than criticism, or supporting rather than criticism. You might find that it's actually feedback as opposed to criticism. You might actually learn from it if you listen to it. And of course, if you're getting insults, then that's not criticism. That's an attempt to bring you down, or it's an attempt to make you feel smaller in some way. you might find somebody like that. But whenever I've had anything like that, I've had like two incidences in the last 22 years of somebody putting a comment on one of my posts that was, I took it as an insult. And instead of being insulted and being attached to it, I just responded. I really simply responded with, thank you. That's one way of looking at it. Kiss, kiss. And I just removed myself. I detached myself from it. And I just left it like that. They didn't respond because how could they respond? I responded with love. I responded with kindness. But also what that does is it means that everybody who is following that post or that thread, they get to see you stepping up in the very best example of being a brand leader, somebody who is a very good example of how to handle criticism. So, you know, people are looking at that. If somebody criticizes you and you don't respond to it at all, that can actually damage you more than if you respond in the kind of way that I just shared. I would never ridicule them. I would never try and bring them down. I certainly wouldn't try and explain my way out of the problem. I would just say, you know, thank you. That's one way of looking at it, and give them a couple of kisses and then move on, because it's not worth your time. It's not worth the space that it's going to rent in your head, because it's going to steal your joy. It's going to borrow your joy from tomorrow. And in fact, it's going to borrow the joy that you could be giving to other people, because like me, you might retreat for 3 or 4 years. And in that 3 or 4 years, imagine the amount of impact that you've wasted because of some stupid little tosspot that's decided to try and bring you down just because it's a hobby of theirs to go and do that, right? So don't allow that. The next thing I want to dive into to deal with criticism is learn to view those comments from a distance. Just like I said to you, I distanced myself from it and I rose above it, and I just literally, I answered it from a very black and white, no emotion standpoint. Now, passionate business owners like me and probably you can become very emotionally bound and connected to the products and the programs and the services and what we're building. We can become very protective and almost bring too much ego into the protection of it and the fear of somebody, doing something against it. So when criticism comes, it can feel like a personal attack. So what I want you to do is, if and when this ever happens to you, and by the way, if it's not happening to you, then you are not visible enough, you're not making a big enough difference, and you're not out there being of service in the greatest way that you can. Because if nobody is saying anything to you, if they're not responding to you, even in a loving way, whether it's love or criticism, then you're not doing enough and you've got to push some more buttons. So I want you to, instead of taking anything like that as a personal attack, I want you to back away and see those comments as opportunities rather than attacks. And that will, again, help you to grow your business. Think about if you were Sir Richard Branson, or if you were Oprah Winfrey, or if you were your favorite thought leader, who is probably very graceful and intelligent and smart and wise. If you were them, how do you think they would respond to it? How do you think they would deal with that comment? Would they rise above it? Would they respond to it with love? Would they attack them? Probably not. So think about the thought leaders that you admire and respect and think, how would they respond to this? And that will take the emotion out of it, because now it's not you that's responding to it. It's you responding to it as them. Another thing is to, instead of taking it personal, so flip the coin, and instead of the take it personal side, avoid pigeonholing all criticism as hogwash or poppycock or bollocks or bullshit. You know, don't dismiss it, because it's easy to ignore those that don't agree with you. But if you're going to learn how to build a brand, and if you're going to learn, okay, if I step into their world and see it from their perspective, what can I see? Then it's essential for you to consider all viewpoints, actually. So again, use your filter. Is this being personal? Is this being offensive? Is it trying to put me down? Is it trying to bring me down? Or is this feedback that I should actually be considering, because if one person is feeling that way, then maybe there's a much bigger audience of people that could also be feeling that way. So again, you're filtering, you're sifting and sorting, and that's what any brand does, isn't it, by the way? Your brand is a sifting and sorting device. Your brand is there to attract the people that are your dream clients and to repel the ones that aren't, because they're the ones that are going to be your time wasters, your money burners, your tire kickers. They're the ones that are going to steal all of your joy if you try and please them. And what you can end up doing is spending so much time pleasing the naysayers that you miss all the great opportunity with the people that really love you. And we can really project, you know, we can very easily mind read something that's completely wrong. I remember speaking at an event in Calgary in Canada years ago, and I remember it was like a U-shaped layout, and I was stood at the front, and so I had this U around me, this horseshoe around me, and this woman who was sat bang in the middle of the kind of the U of the horseshoe, she was sat right in front of me, and she had her arms on the table as if she was totally bored, her head in her hands. And, you know, it was just the look in her eyes, and I was totally mind reading. Well, because I'm so service driven and I want everyone to like me. Of course I do. I understand that not everyone will. But as she was looking at me, I was thinking, oh, my God, like, you know, this is awful. And I really thought she hated me. She hated what I was talking about. And, you know, I ended up delivering my entire presentation pretty much to this woman because I was trying to get her engaged. I was trying to get her to like me, to like what I was doing. And I knew I was really conscious of doing it. Obviously, I was engaging everybody else as well, but I was really conscious that I was mostly doing this presentation for this woman. Anyway, it gets to the end of the presentation. She comes up and she gets in the queue, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go. This is going to be a nightmare. And I'm bracing myself for criticism or, you know, well, you could have done this right. Or, you know, when you said that, that wasn't right. I was just waiting for it like you do. And she comes up to me when it's her turn. She says to me in this really soft, beautiful Canadian voice, of which I'm going to do it no justice whatsoever. She looks me straight in the eyes. She takes my hands and she says, I could listen to you all day. And there I am, delivering the freaking thing to please her, thinking she hates it. And all she cared about was that she loved my accent. What a mind read. What a mind blower. Like, I'm thinking she hates it, and actually she's loving it. So be very careful not to mind read and take criticism as something that is being an attack, when somebody could literally be saying to you, hey, look, I really didn't like the way you delivered this because you said this or this, or because it came across in this way. And they might not express to you all the things they do like, but they'll tell you the one thing that they don't. And that's for you to sit back and stand back from that and think to yourself, okay, what can I take from it? What can I take? And decide if you are going to take it or not. It's your choice. Everything is up to you. So aim not to take it personally. Aim to take it as the other side of the coin, that actually they could be giving you some essential pointers that will help you to improve and will make you far more magnetic and engaging to everybody that you speak to or that you share your posts with or make your videos for after that. Just two more to go. The next one is to stay focused on your values and your goals. So yes, listen to every piece of criticism, but only take those pieces of criticism to heart that will advance you towards the success and the goals that you're aiming for. This does take practice. It takes some trial and error, but the sooner you start, the sooner you'll master the art. And the final thing is that when a piece of criticism proves itself to be valuable to your business, the very best thing you can do is take the time to solve the problem that prompted it. And then if you know who it is that gave you the criticism, I would either write to them or I would share something publicly to thank them. I would share my gratitude for them being honest with you and letting you know that this is something that could improve. And so you've improved it. And here you are now with the next level of, or with the amended version of whatever it is. What this does is it turns people that you thought were enemies into people that feel rewarded and, oh, so, okay, well, maybe I'm good at giving you pointers on this. Well, let me listen to all of your stuff. And if there's anything that I catch, I'm going to be the one to tell you. Honestly, you want people like this. You don't want everybody telling you how fabulous you are and blowing smoke up your ass and, you know, everything's great and pink and rosy. You don't want that. You want people to be giving you feedback, because the more you get, the more you will be able to grow your business, expand your brand, and create a very highly visible, highly credible, tremendously profitable business that people trust, because they know that it's a two-way conversation, that you're not all about ego, and they know that they feel safe to come and approach you to let you know if there's something that you need to know. So let's for one moment just see criticism as a gift. It's not always wrapped up in the most beautiful and delicate of packages, of course, and sometimes it's often buried in a huge pile of poop. However, with dedication to searching for the gems that are in there, you can tap into a resource way more valuable than a compliment, and a resource that drums up new business, solidifies your existing customer base, and builds an enormous amount of trust. So that's what I've got for you today. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you did, then make sure you subscribe, share it with just one other person that you think would benefit from hearing this episode. And if you want to know more about how to build a brand or how to start building your brand from scratch, remember, get across to the How to Build a Brand YouTube channel. You'll find everything on the How to Build a Brand YouTube channel that is about how to build a brand. The One Drop Movement channel is about building a movement, building something bigger than a business, growing a community, growing yourself at the same time as growing others. And that's how the two sides of my business work, because quite often people think they're building a business, but they're actually building a movement. And sometimes people think they're building a movement and they're not building enough of their business into it. So there's both of the angles. You decide which one is for you, and then go and look at the YouTube channel that calls you most. So please do leave your comments or questions below. If you've got any questions about this, let me know. Please go and give a review for this podcast. If you've enjoyed any of the episodes, please give them a good review and help me to help you to expand your brand. The more you're able to help me, the more I'm able to help you. So let's keep this love going. Let's keep making those ripples that only you and I can make. And I'll see you on the next show.